Public health workers usually work quietly in the background, but like many other people in the U.S., they changed their priorities after the 11th of September and again in October when the anthrax attacks began. NPR's Joanne Silberner has a report.
Dr. George DeFernando became acting health commissioner of New Jersey last August. He had two major priorities: to help older people buy prescription drugs and to detect diseases in newborns. His first staff meeting was September 11th.
Somebody was, you know, a couple minutes into her presentation on the goals, and I've got one of these little pager devices that they gave me that also gets the internet. And so I was flipping through that, you know, kind of checking the mail while I was doing this meeting.
He had a message on his pager. A plane had crashed into the World Trade Center. The meeting and the next few weeks of DeFernando's life changed focus. Nearly a third of the people who worked at the World Trade Center lived in New Jersey. DeFernando immediately activated a crisis center and set up a family assistance unit in Liberty Park, just across the harbor from Lower Manhattan. That helped the wounded and the families of the dead. But there was mental trauma as well, even among those far from Manhattan and the Pentagon. Dr. Ken Duckworth, chief psychiatric officer for the state of Massachusetts, says the event changed how people felt about psychiatric care. He helped set up clinics across the state.
In general, people don't wake up in the morning and say, "Boy, I'd love to see a psychiatrist today." And after September 11th, in at least these few settings, people were so grateful to have access to a psychiatrist to talk to them and, you know, kind of pick our brains.
10,000 people have visited the clinic so far.
A lot of people had their worlds truly upset in a deep and fundamental way. They're more anxious. Their sleep was interrupted. They were disturbed in a way. Their world had been shaken.
Duckworth says there may be one positive public health legacy, a change in attitude toward the mentally ill.
I heard people say, "Gee, now I know what it's like to feel depressed. This was what it must be like for my aunt, who was hearing voices and felt like she was losing it." I actually had people say that to me: "Gee, now I get a little better. Why do you treat people with depression?"
Just as public health departments like Duckworth's were getting a handle on the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the nation got another jolt.
I got a phone call on Friday, the 12th of October, from one of the epidemiologists in New York City who's a longtime colleague of mine.
This time, New Jersey's acting health commissioner, George DeFernando, got the message through his cell phone as he was walking across a parking lot to a meeting. Anthrax had hit New York City. DeFernando reactivated his emergency command center to watch for cases in New Jersey. And soon enough, spores were discovered in a post office near Trenton. DeFernando says it was a challenge to take care of his department's everyday responsibilities, like tuberculosis and West Nile virus. They were a little late publishing a study on the safety of cardiac surgery.
We've missed our share of paper deadlines also, and we don't believe it's had a health effect, but it's absolutely hurt our efficiency, no doubt about that.
His department and those of other states are expecting a big infusion of federal dollars to help them deal with the threat of terrorism. Both the U.S. House and Senate have passed bills that would provide several billion dollars. They just need to iron out minor differences. Meanwhile, state and local governments are working to put early warning systems in place. That may cause shortfalls in other programs, but Dr. Mohammed Akhtar, head of the American Public Health Association, says the end result will have benefits that go beyond bioterrorism.
The system that we set up to deal with bioterrorism is the same system that will come very handy for us to deal with other kind of issues, whether it is West Nile's virus outbreak, whether there's a flu outbreak, whether there is some other disease that's in the community. We will have a much better monitoring system, much quicker monitoring system than we have right now in place.
Some cities already have good systems, but Akhtar says most rural areas aren't up to speed. The government could have set up an early warning system a long time ago. It could have required hospitals and doctors to be ready to handle a bioterrorist attack. But Akhtar says people just didn't think it would happen here.
On the main, the public health community weren't paying much attention to it. We thought, oh yeah, there is a threat, but it was remote. It was just far removed. Terrorism haven't touched our lives in the United States of America for a long time. And so, you know, we had forgotten.
New Jersey's DeFernando says that kind of thinking isn't new. He collects antique public health books. He's got one from the late 1800s, written by the first head of the American Public Health Association.
Some of his colleagues were saying, well, you know, why is it our public health movement only gets attention when there's, you know, an outbreak of this or that? And he wrote in that, you know, very nice 1880s type of formal language, that's the way it works.
But that may be changing. DeFernando says today something's happening that he and his colleagues never expected. People are using phrases like public health infrastructure and debating its importance. Joanne Solberner, NPR News, Washington.